Good evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. Today is the second quarter equity overview and Rambus Chartology. I hope you have had a chance to view the Rambus Chartology in the web presentation for the second quarter 2020 wrap-up. I would also ask you to take a look as soon as you can to the second quarter 2019 final presentation on the state of our currency. We'll be talking about it next week. And the reality is, everything that's happening in the financial markets is playing on the platform of the re-engineering of the currency system and what's called the global reset. So I would really encourage you to take some time and digest both web presentations for the theme for the second quarter 2019 and then the equity overview on the second quarter. Again, the charts and Rambus Chartology are up in the web presentation. If you go to the commentary for this Solari report, you can just link through to the web presentation. When you go through to the 2019 web presentation, you'll have to log in again with your Solari report. Our theme for a discussion of the financial markets tonight is Planet Equity Buys the World, or I should really say the central banks buy the world. You're watching an insider-outsider game. We've been watching that for 20 years since the financial coup started, but it's really accelerating where the central banks print money and that money is used essentially to buy up central control, establish central control, re-engineer the planet into a technocracy. This time, though, they've shut down the main street economy, both in the emerging markets and the first world. And as I've said many times, this is the mother of all debt entrapment. I covered a lot of material in the first quarter equity overview, including a section called Don't Lose Money. And I would really recommend, it's as relevant today as it was then. And a lot of the successful tactics for the sort of the world we're in and going into is it's very, very important to not lose money. And if you look at the ways that people do lose money, many of those can be avoided if you really think very, very strategically about what you're dealing with. The transcript for the first quarter equity overview is up on that commentary. And again, I strongly recommend you access that. So web presentations for the second quarter 2020, second quarter 2019, and first quarter wrap-up as well. Let's just quickly look at the second quarter and year-to-date performance. Essentially, what we saw is in March, the Treasury market, which is $20 trillion and represents the spigot, melted down. And that really followed the scramble on the oil deal and the oil markets crashing now. Great for the denying revenues to the people who are de-dollarizing, but essentially the dollar's on an oil standard. And we started to watch a very significant meltdown. And with that, it looked like everything else was melting down. And sure enough, then we get the pandemic. The explosion of U.S. Treasury and government debt has been instrumental to basically establishing tremendous central control globally and in the U.S. I just put some statistics in my notes. In July 1985, the U.S. national debt was 42% of GDP. In July 2020, it's 123%. And not surprisingly, in July 1985, the long-term treasury, the 30-year treasury, was 10.5%. And in July 2020, it was 1.2%. So as we bring interest rates down and essentially savers lose access to that return, what we do is we print more government money. And as we slowly squeeze and shut down Main Street, more and more of the economy and individuals in the economy become dependent on government checks. And of course, if you look at what's being proposed with the universal basic income, it's about to get much worse. So let's just step back and take a look at how the markets is. Everything, it's interesting, if you look at all the equity charts, with rare exception, all the equities melt down with the U.S. Treasury market. And then, you know, as the market and the Fed and the stimulus packages pump out, it's a coming back of them. And it's the kind of volatility when you have this much of a bubble. So the big question in March, of course, was after many, many years of being overdue for the 20 to 35% major correction, was it going to be a major correction or a turn to the bear? And of course, it was a major correction. And we see tremendous, you know, spike back up. So the strongest markets for the year are precious metals. Silver is now up 46%. percent for a 12-month period, but say for the year up 35%, gold up almost 30%, hovering underneath that 2000 line. And treasuries coming off the basement now up 26% for the year. And of course, if there's one thing that's down, it's the dollar. The dollar is starting to finally fall as the markets reflect the printing. So let me just read down the total return year to date. And again, this is total return year to date. So the silver ETF SLV up 35%, gold ETF up 29%, the 20 plus year long treasury TLT ETF up 26.5%, home construction, wow, up 17%, the aggregate bond 11%. I'm just reading high to low. Home builders ETF up 10.75%. The bond aggregate up 7.56. Switzerland, interestingly, up 4.55%. If you look at the PEs in the Swiss markets, it's levitating even way above the U.S. market and has for many years. Muni bonds now in the black, up 3.61%. The short treasury up, ETF up 3%. Germany now in the black, up 1.7%. The China ETF still down, India ETF still down, and the S&P about 3% into the black, still outperforming most of Europe, but not Germany, and certainly outperforming China. So the wealth of central bank stimulus clearly maintaining that lead we've seen since the financial crisis of the U.S. equities outperforming. If you look at where the real outperformance was, it was in the FANG stock. So you really see it when you look at the NASDAQ. And of course, the question is, if you read my piece on currencies in the 2019 wrap-up state of our currencies, what you'll see is many of those are really building out the utility train tracks for the new crypto system. So it's not surprising. The fact that the precious metals have done as well as they've done are clearly indicating a major inflation problem coming. And technology can be very, very deflationary, but this is going to put a real squeeze on commodities, and it's going to put a real squeeze on basic household income. If you look at the Chapman Index, the basic household inflation came down about 1%, so digesting the shutdown. I absolutely believe the Main Street shutdown was engineered to offset the incredible inflation that the central banks were going to undertake, but it's going to roll back in. And the question, one of the questions Rambis asks is, are we going to see a new bull market in commodities? And I think it's going to be a bit of hunt and peck, depending on how technology works. What's interesting is we have, in the United States, we have not felt the sting as much as you would think. One reason has been a moratorium on rental evictions and on mortgage payments. Forbes just published an article pointing out that 14 million renters are behind in their rent, and estimated 11 million evictions are coming. And there is no doubt, in combination with looting and defunding police, the big real estate opportunities are coming. And I don't think that is an accident, as you know from our discussions about some of the maps we've been showing of the looting patterns in the opportunity zones area. And I will just say, if you look at the hacking that we're taking every time we point those out, I would say we're hitting the nail on the head. But if you are not an insider, your biggest challenge ahead is inflation of basic goods at a time when incomes are being squeezed and shut off. I think it's one of the reasons there's going to be a pressure for universal basic income. And now that the banks can do crypto, I'll talk about that in a second, the Democrats are going to make a big push to make sure everybody can only get paid in crypto. And yes, it's going to be linked into the injectable credit card. So we'll talk a lot more about that next week. There is no doubt that the $20 trillion market for U.S. government debt is the thing to watch, because it's what's driving the spigot. And as you know, FASB 56 really helped keep that spigot going, but it started to fall apart in March, and it could happen again. And so it's very important, as you look at all assets that you hold and what's happening in the markets, that you understand the leverage across the whole bubble is enormous. And I think all the central banks plan to mark the equity up. The global reset is not a markdown of the debt, it's a markup of the equity if they can engineer it. And if you look at the latest Fed communique come out this week, it's the same message. will do whatever it takes. The stimulus package in the U.S. is still being negotiated the next round. And the question is, you know, how badly will they shaft Main Street? I think the insiders will be taken care of. There's a new proposal to bail out the commercial mortgage-backed security industry for a little bit more than $500 billion. And again, that would benefit the insiders, not the people who can't pay their rent. Europe agreed to a long-term budget and a major stimulus package last week. And we talked on that about that on the last Money in Markets. As I said, the leader in the equity market has been the FANG stocks and the NASDAQ. And part of that reflects the fact that new technology is very much driving what is happening, and that includes who has access to AI and who has access to all the data that's being scarfed up in a way that is highly destructive of your and my privacy. So let me just read you a section from Rambus, because I think he did a great job in this quarter's Rambus Chartology of pointing out the tech that's driving Planet Equity and could drive Planet Equity for a long time. Everybody knows the FANG stocks now like the back of their hand, but I can assure you that they're going to be the new FANG type stocks that are just being born right now as we speak. But very few investors have a clue of who they are right now. As time goes on, they will start to emerge from the darkness one by one until they become a household name. The key is to understand the new technology that is going to change our lives in ways we can't comprehend right now. Our current secular bull market is now over 10 years old, and we should start to see the emergence of some of the companies that are going to lead into the future. The last secular bull market was the birth of technology, which had a profound impact on our everyday lives. The current secular bull market is also going to change our lives in ways we can't even imagine. Artificial intelligence, robotics, supercomputers, to name just a few. Then there is the biotech arena that's going to find cures, extend the average lifespan, to just name a few. There will be new technologies we can't even comprehend right now. So I agree totally with Rambus. Some of those companies I love, some of those companies I want nothing to do with. As I said in the Just a Taste excerpt we used from last equity overview, I don't believe in financing my own prison. But I think there are also going to be a lot of great companies and a lot of very interesting things going on. Let's talk more about how you keep bubbles going. The next bubble is underway. Very quietly, just a week ago, the OCC, one of the U.S. bank regulators, put out a letter to one bank, unnamed, basically saying banks can now hold and provide custodian services and other services on cryptos. And that's the beginning of integrating the crypto system into the banking system and working out the details of how it's going to work. In the meantime, you have, of course, Gates' effort to try and get the injectable credit cards going. And if you look at the OCC letter plus what the Gavi Alliance is doing in Africa with MasterCard, you're going to get a sense of how these different, you know, the operating system through the vaccines and these different efforts are going to come together. I've also, in the currency piece, put information about the BIS-Fed partnership with innovation hubs around the world. And so the train tracks are very quietly starting to be built so that the crypto prototype can be moved into the banking system under the control very centrally of the central bankers and the big banks. And this has the potential to keep the bubble floating in extraordinary, extraordinary ways. Think about this. So the spigot is strong, although it's causing the dollar to fall. The spigot is strong. You're moving the crypto in. All of that gives you extraordinary bubble capacity. You're using a pandemic, an engineered pandemic, as the air cover so that you don't have to just tell people you're giving another round of $50 trillion to the banking system and doing a leverage buyout of the planet. But I want to turn to one of the most sort of dangerous parts of what's going to be happening under the cover of the bubble, and that is the insider game. And the insider game is very much going to revolve around private equity. It's, I think, the disaster capitalism and the dirty tricks is why Harvard went dark and why you see the SEC now asking that hedge funds up to a much greater, smaller amount in terms of assets under management can be dark. That's their flotilla of, you know, armies that can play this game. But I think the disaster capitalism game is going to get very, very ugly. It's why we've been showing the maps of Minneapolis, Portland, and the opportunity zones. The way to prototype the smart cities and get a hold of the real estate cheap is to play the game with the looting and the protests, as we've described. So if you combine the stimulus being pumped out, whether through the Fed or the Treasury, and the ability with the riots and defunding the police to mark assets and cities down in price, and you then create unprecedented powers to kind of rock and roll and redevelop with things like the New Green Deal, you know, the combination is remarkable as to how much money can be made, particularly on the real estate. And it's really the dark side of the debt entrapment, because you're basically busting Main Street's income and then sort of squeezing them out, particularly with the riots. So if you look at a prosperous small business that was on Lake Street in Minneapolis and you look at what's been done to it, you're basically talking about bankrupting it and stealing its assets cheap in a very, very ugly way, particularly if the money that was used to purchase it was bought with inside information or stimulus money. So you basically have taxpayers financing a machinery that's destroying them and their businesses and then essentially stealing their assets. I know all about it because it's exactly what was done to me. So I'm watching the Hamilton security story engineered on scale. It's another reason to map your local ecosystem, because that's where you're going to start to see the game and get the political leverage to pay back. The reality is, this game goes down, there are going to be real estate opportunities for those who don't mind being patient and living with the risk. Remember, if we get 11 million evictions in the United States this year, there's going to be a tremendous amount of opportunity. It's very interesting to think, and you can't not think about what it means to the equity markets and the real estate game if the Democrats win. There is no doubt in my mind if the Democrats win, let alone if they get a full sweep of, you know, they grab the Senate as well. So if you get the White House, the Senate, and the House with the Democrats, with Biden in the lead, I can't imagine Biden's going to be the president for very long. So it's going to end up falling to his number two. But I think you're going to see the radicals and the Marxists with a front seat, and that front seat is going to engineer an insider game. So the disaster capitalism folks are going to have Marxism fronting for their lawlessness. And it's going to be a major, major pork fest. And the challenge for anybody who's living in an area that they're targeting is, how are you going to deal with it from the ground? Because as you can see, what they did to Minneapolis, or, you know, any area like that, what you're talking about is a game that can come in and basically destroy your income, create tremendous expenses out of thin air, and then basically pick your assets off for cheap. It's a dangerous game, and it's exactly why I said at the beginning of the year in the annual wrap-up, or the question before us is, how are we going to deal with the Beck brothers? The Beck brothers being the guys who play dirty, and play dirty particularly in stealing other people's assets and land. Anyway, here we are, and the only way I know to fight back is by... It always starts with mapping out your local ecosystem and using intelligence to get real leverage in the process. Can be done, but it's going to take some organization and it's going to take an investment of time. So Planet Equity is in a global bubble. Now, what's interesting is if you look at the big tech companies, social media and tech that are being used to build those train tracks, we are watching explosive increases in value. You can really see inflation by watching Apple and Amazon hit $1 trillion. And now Apple is $1.65 trillion. Amazon is $1.5 trillion. Both of them are likely headed to $2 trillion. I still wouldn't touch them personally because I think there are better companies around, but there's no doubt that will show you the extent of the inflation. If you look at the Planet Equity scenario that I've been talking about since 2014, there is a tremendous amount more to securitize. Think of it this way. The central banks print money and then they run around the world and get all the assets of the world securitized, and the more you securitize, the more you can get it into a system run with technocracy. Again, it's not a market system. But if you go back and take a look at our megacities wrap-up on real estate, they're is a huge amount more to securitize. Very little real estate globally has been securitized, and they want to bring a lot of that into the planet equity world. And the way to do that is to provide the lowest possible cost of capital for the insiders who are leading sort of the planetary LBO. The cheapest way is just print and buy. And I hate to say this, but mind control makes it so much more easy. So if you haven't looked at the megacities analysis or the stocks, I recommend it because I think real estate is one of the biggest plays going globally. And it looks different in different parts of the world. But I think the major prize Planet Equity is looking for after tech is the real estate. And the real estate and the tech are going to be so much more integrated is their vision with the smart cities and smart grid. Let's talk about your choices in this environment, because as you can see, we get a 35% or greater down. Then we get a, you know, on silver, an 80%+ up, on the NASDAQ, a 56% up, and you've got to live with that kind of volatility. And so, you know, one of the things you need to decide if you're going to be in the public markets, can you live with that kind of volatility and how do you manage it? And of course, the way to manage it on the equity side is with hedges, but hedges are expensive in a world of low yields. But the only way to not use hedges is to be able to only put money in that you can live with the volatility. The other issue is, as I said, there are lots of great companies, but it takes a lot of time to find them, underwrite, pick them. So you've either got a manager who can do that, or you're in a situation, and I don't like index because I end up having to put a lot of money in stuff I don't want my money going into. But your big question is, one, do you want to play in equities? Two, are you willing to live with the volatility? Three, do you want to use a hedge? And four, where are you going to find a great manager who won't put your money in crap? Your most important choice is yourself. Your best investment, and I went into this a lot in the first quarter equity overview, so I'm not going to go through it again, and I would encourage you to go back and listen to that audio, read that transcript. Your health is so important, and this is an environment where if you significantly invest in your health and taking care of your health, whether it's food, detoxing, preventative health care, it's the best investment in the world, and you can't afford not to make it. The cost of not making it is extraordinary, given the particularly if you're in the United States, because you're dealing with such a government-controlled and corrupt healthcare system. Your own education. Having a high learning metabolism, particularly with accelerating technology and change, is absolutely essential. Do it yourself. It is much cheaper to do everything yourself in many respects, depending on your community, your family, where you can organize, than going into the marketplace, earning money, dealing with the regulations, paying taxes, and then coming back and trying to pay somebody else to do it. So the economics of do it yourself just gets better and better and better. And part of education is getting the training and skills you need to do it yourself. Doing your own information systems, doing your own building and construction, doing your own gardening. All of these things are, the more resilient you can make your operation, the better. I still continue, despite all the risks and all the headwinds, think having your own business or businesses with people that you can trust. So if you look at the sort of effort to centrally control through access to employment, it's only going to get that more that way. Pay down your debt. This is not a good time to have debt. I understand that debt is very, very cheap, but pay it down, get rid of it. You don't need that backdoor into control. Another thing is to refinance out trustworthy family and friends out of their debt. So I keep telling the story of one guy I hadn't seen for a while who walked up to me and said, you know, I refinanced four kids out of their mortgages and I'm not getting the benefit of the stock market up, but I sleep at night and I'm getting a great yield. That's pretty funny. One of the great opportunities as a financial matter is equity pools, local equity pools. And if you see the insiders, they're lining up to take advantage of all of them. Of course, that's land and real estate. The politics of that are deep and difficult, so you need good organization. But for those of you who are comfortable managing real estate, there's going to be a lot of real estate opportunities in this environment. And of course, it's dangerous because you can also get clocked by the disaster capitalism coming through. Just ask the people in Paradise, California, they know. Precious metals, I said at the beginning of last year and this year, you know, this is going to be a good year for precious metals, and sure enough it is, and I think that's going to keep going. Again, not to say that it won't be volatile, but these guys are committed to printing. Now, as the sting comes through with the moratoriums lifting, we've got a lot of pain to digest on Main Street, and that, if you look at the numbers on precious metals, the institutional buying and the ETF buying is up. The retail buying has been down, and I think that reflects the pain in the general population. Back to equities again, you want equities in real things. There are plenty of equities that are not in real things, and there are lots of great companies. These are one of the benefits of what I do, because I'm doing an ESG screen. I'm constantly looking at great companies all over the world, and lots of new companies, as Ramba said, the number of new companies dealing with new technology, we can't even imagine. But again, the question is, who's going to take the time to monitor, pick? It's a very time-consuming job in this market. And so the question is, can you find a good manager? Yes, they're out there. But just remember, 23% of managers outperform the index, but you've got to find one of those 23%. And then the question is, do you want to hedge or not? And a lot of that depends on your unique situation and you. You pay a lot to hedge, but I'll tell you, you sleep much better at night when the volatility gets the way it was in March and April. Because of the environment we're in where real assets are what work, it's very, very important. Whatever you do, you're comfortable with it, you understand why you're in it, and you're patient. This is an environment where if you get scared and pull out, you're going to get killed. Buy at the top and sell at the bottom. This is not a world where you can afford to have fear porn. Fear porn and hope porn are just going to get exponentially more expensive. You cannot play it that way. I've gotten a lot of questions over the last quarter about U.S. retirement vehicles, IRAs, and 401ks. The reality is I have several pieces in the library. So if you go to home.solari.com and then click on library, there are old pieces that explain why I don't have a 401k. I had $500,000 in a 401k when the feds came after me. They threw my 401k into an audit, so I couldn't use it to finance the company when they tried to put a lot of bogus contract compliance expenses on me and put me in the corner. And I busted it, paid $225,000 of taxes, used it to do the contract compliance. And then when I won the litigation and my CPA said, oh, well, let's refund the 401k, I said, nope, I'm never going to put money in one of those things again. U.S. government is a completely untrustworthy partner. I want nothing to do with it. Now, when I was doing investment advisory for individual clients, I saw many situations where they were in a very different situation than I was, and it made tremendous sense for them to keep some money in a 401k and do the riskier things in that 401k than in money that wasn't in one of those vehicles. The tax benefits and the employer benefits can be tremendous, but there is no doubt that the political risk is rising dramatically. And my fear is that you'll wake up one morning and they'll be, turned into an annuity or into something that has to sort of buy treasuries. You know, one thing to understand is if you're physically in a jurisdiction, everything you have, whether it's precious metals, real estate, or a 401k or IRA, they're all one way or another in the system. Anyway, so it's very hard to tell given your personal situation, but I would just say that the political risk is going up. And if you're going to keep using them, my suggestion is to use them for your riskiest and most volatile assets. So that's a place to do. If you're uncomfortable with equity, that's a place to continue to do the equity. And again, you need to find custodians and managers that you're really comfortable with if you have the option to do that. Of course, in an IRA, you can do physical precious metals. And that's a way from a custodian standpoint to somewhat get it out of the system. I would take a serious look if you're in IRAs at converting to a Roth now. pay your taxes now while taxes are low. There's a chance we get a Democratic victory in the White House and even a Democratic sweep. If we get Democrats running the Senate, the House, and the White House, you're going to get some unbelievably radical stuff going on. Whether or not it's going to be good for the equity markets is hard to say. Some people think it could be terrible. I think the insiders are going to have a pig fest. You know, the Marxists are basically going to, you know, remove all rules for them to have a pig fest at the local level. So I just think you're going to have an insider pig fest, the likes of which you've never seen. And I don't think it's going to end up being bad for the equity markets, but you could easily see corporate taxes go back up, which is not such a bad thing. And obviously that's going to have a dampening impact on the U.S. stock market. There is a lot that can go wrong in the planets and equity scenario. I have always believed that ultimately, if you look at what's happening with the global reset, the chances of the Midianite thing tearing it apart are very, very real. And that could have a devastating impact on global equity markets, either for a period or permanently. I don't think that's a bad thing. I really don't want to live in a world where every child I know is subject to an injectable credit card. That's not a world I want to live in. So the tricky thing for me when I look at the equity markets is how can I pick and choose individual equities so that I'm betting for a winning scenario for the human race and not betting to make capital gains on something that ultimately is going to turn me into a slave. And I use my capital gains profits anyway. So that's it for my comments for this quarter. Again, what I would strongly recommend you do is go to the second quarter 2019 currency.soleri.com/currency and read the state of our currency. That is the big, deep backdrop to everything that's going to be going on in our world, whether it's pandemic or the financial markets. And I really believe if you have that map, you will be much more successful at navigating everything from the pandemic to what's going on in the equity and financial markets over the next 5 to 10 years. And of course, it's going to be a continuing discussion because in addition to running the bubble on the coming off the treasury market and the dollar reserve currency, you're now going to start to integrate crypto and expand that bubble dramatically. And you're going to explode the technology as we go. So we are looking at unprecedented printing and unprecedented technology and unprecedented change altogether. It helps to see them as an integrated basis with the other headlines going on in the world. So may you live in interesting times. And if you look at how much more the central bankers could print and how wild the insider game could get, particularly if the Democrats get control of the White House in the United States. Get ready, because here it comes. Change is upon us. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it has never been more true. Do not ask if there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you absolutely have to start one. Good night and good luck.